And now, the rest of the story. Abby was at home in Buffalo, New York, when she received the exciting news that she and her husband would be moving into the house of their dreams. And then Abby rushed to meet him, and then unhappily learned the rest of the story. Her husband's dream house was more of a nightmare. Her husband's dream house had no gas and no plumbing. There was not much you could call a bathtub. The previous residents had been cooking over a kitchen fireplace, and the rest of the place was woefully inadequately heated. Couldn't they simply go back to Buffalo and forget the whole thing, Abby wondered. No, her husband said it was too late for that. Her husband had already committed them to this dismal property, and there they would have to stay. He never actually came out and called the move a mistake, far as we know. However, he readily acknowledged that there were indeed difficult times ahead. He began referring to the new homestead as, quote, this temple of inconveniences. In fact, let me read you part of a letter that he wrote to a friend, quote, the busy week is nearly ended. I seize the precious moment simply to say that I'm very anxious that you and Mrs. Havens should come and make us a visit this winter. We have one spare room in this temple of inconveniences, neatly fitted up, and just the thing for you and Mrs. H. End quote. The difficulty was that the one spare room was the only room in the house that was neatly fitted up. The more Abby thought about it, the more upset she became. She remembered having to carry bathing water into her house in the old days. But that was precisely the point. These were not the old days. Why then should her family be subjected to such primitive living conditions? A house, after all, in which there was not even an indoor tub to which water might be carried. And so it was that this spunky former school teacher decided to make a few significant changes on her own. And so it was that Abby ordered the workmen to install the gas pipes and the water pipes and supervised the installations of a kitchen range and a big bathtub. But she didn't stop there. There were no books in the house, not even a dictionary, not even a Bible. So Abby, from nothing, began building a library, and her first selections included Hawthorne's Great Stone Face, The Scarlet Letter, Bryant's Thanatopsis, and Emerson's Essays. And then Abby began replacing worn furniture and carpets. She bought a piano and a harp and threw a big party to celebrate, and the big house sparkled and sang and laughed as it never had before. What you've just heard is history. What remains is one mystery. The neighbors objected. The neighbors talked and they tisked. A bathtub, they declared. And books, they declared. And I wonder how Abigail Fillmore felt, faced with the public outcry that she and her husband Millard, the President of the United States, should represent the nation's people living in a cold, threadbare, cheerless home without plumbing, called the White House. And now you know the rest of the story.